What? Come on. Come on. Are we brave enough to ask ourselves that question? My comment on that previous excerpt, the degree of administrative enmeshment of states within the interstate system is the logical extension of the tactics developed within states to the global level. Obviously a TINA move, an attempt to block all exits, a logical extension of the tactics developed to control us within states to the global level. Obviously a TINA move, an attempt to block all exits and cement in place the global system, which asks the question, as power has in the last 250 years been steadfast in their global focus to maintain control of us. When do we acknowledge that? When do we acknowledge that we can only defend ourselves by doing the same? Now, I put up a page, Founding and Realizing a Test Site, not modeled on democracy, but on freedom, premised on leisure is happiness. I include there a quote from Diana Spearman. Here is an excerpt of that quote. Quote, it's clear that in this aspect, dictatorship is a development of tendencies inherent in a democratic system itself. Tendencies arising from a misunderstanding of the nature of democracy. Professor Lasky, who wrote The State in Theory and Practice, is clearly right when he says that the services which parties have rendered to the democratic state are inestimable, but clearly wrong when he includes among those services that they are among, quote, the most solid obstacle we have against the danger of Caesarism, unquote. Nothing is easier than for the Democratic Party itself to evolve into an instrument of dictatorship. The historical destruction of democracy through its own parties is assisted by the modern development of government from the administrative side. Dictatorship and democracy are not proceeding in opposite directions, but on parallel lines. And that is, unquote, from Diana Spearman's Chapter 4, Authoritarian Tendencies in Democracy, in her book, Modern Dictatorship, published in 1939. And we commented on that page, Founding and Realizing a Test Site. We commented on this by saying, and so a clearer and more inclusive and practical and so more accurate version of that de Tocqueville quote that I cite a lot and I quoted in Unpacking Democracy. If you can get the many chasing money, it leaves the few who play the higher stakes of power freer to pursue their ambition. A more practical quote would be, if you can get the vast majority stuck in simply surviving or getting things done, accomplishment, it leaves the infinitesimal few freer to pursue their global game of supremacy, the pursuit of knowledge infinite, so-called. Diana Spearman's book, Modern Dictatorship, and I quote her in both Palmer's Chat and in Revealing Division, is helpful for understanding the underlying motive of power. The philosopher king statesman reason that if they can own, control all the knowledge, and particularly the knowledge of how to kill us, literally. And you can revisit the January 26, 2014 show when we discuss this, then their supremacy can never be challenged. I mean, that's key, isn't it? I mean, think on it. How many righteous folk have just sort of dropped out of the scene? This practical angle can be expressed slightly differently, thereby shedding even more light on the matter of what we got in having democracy. De Tocqueville describes the broad dissemination of the administrative function, both in allowing the township exclusive responsibility for the implementation and enforcement of state mandates. And in this administrative function being fragmented into non-interdependent parts, with each functionary in charge of his or her part responsible for its own action. In this way, it's less machine-like, which implies central control toward accomplishing a goal, and more central control in monopolizing central control, i.e. we are kept busy, 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 busy. And again, the word panopticon comes to mind, and the word atomization as the central control technique that they rely on. And this central control, monopolizing its control, brings to mind a circular action rather than a forward motion. That is to say, a treading in place. No change. No movement. Allowing power, which doesn't have 1,000,000 rules dragging on its ankles, impeding action. Allowing power both freedom of movement and privacy in which to do it, as the rest of us are too busy trying to maneuver in the muck of laws to notice what is in any case cloaked in secrecy, well shielded from media scrutiny. So democracy, or rule of law installed by majority vote, in practice means immobility. No change. Plato's best state is proceeding apace. And sometimes the route it takes is dictatorship and sometimes democracy, which offers the plus, I suppose, that some are allowed to pretend they're free. So between dictatorship and democracy, the only distinguishing quality is, for the latter, better drugs, better illusions. Power keeps the people busy pretending to be free, while it pursues supremacy. Or, if you can get the many mired in minutiae, it leaves the few who play the higher stakes of power freer to pursue their ambition. It's time to confront Du Bois' question. What price do we place on freedom? Are we ready to begin organizing these discussions?